This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And joining us, we have, yes, Tom Flannery and Brett Steinle from National Controllers again, National Association of Air Traffic Controllers.
We've got a twofer from these guys today.
It's easy to say, but the full name escapes me.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good morning.
How are you? Thanks for having us.
We were talking before you came in, disaster response and your role in it. Now, we all see the wildfires, and we see the fire bombers doing this and the helicopters doing that, and you guys are involved in that as well. I never knew this.
Yeah, so what we did was in 1992, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association established a fund to help out controllers and their families when disaster strikes. Because the idea is if we get the controllers back in the tower and back in the approach controls so they can work, then we can open up the airports and open up the communities. So we basically have a fund that helps controllers get back in, reestablish themselves. So we provide power, water, food, and supplies. We fly it in with general aviation, and then we help them basically get back to work. So then they can open up the tower, open the TRACON center, et cetera.
Okay, and have you had a lot of incidents where TRACONs have had to go down because of environmental problems, hurricanes, whatever?
The most recent one that everyone probably can remember is Asheville. Asheville's decimated by flooding,
yep.
and really there's no way in or out of the town other than the airport. And 36 hours after the incident, maybe 48 hours, that was the busiest airport in the U.S. because of all the other federal response and military response that was based out of that airport. Meanwhile, all the controllers that normally work there are at homes with no power, no water, cell phones are dying, no way to communicate. And if they can't get back to the airport to get it opened up, then none of that response on the federal level happens. So our goal is to try to get them stabilized so that they're able to do their job, which can then affect the response on a larger level for the community.
So in the wake of Asheville, we had supplies brought in, generators, power, phones. We brought in satellite Starlinks because that way we can communicate with their families. They had no idea if their controllers, their friends and families were okay. And so the Starlinks provided a way to communicate with those people. And so we were able to talk to them. And then, of course, from that point of it, now they can go back to work and actually work in the TRACON and the tower there.
What about the guys that were on shift when the storm hit? They had no way of knowing if their home was still there.
Right, exactly.
And things like fuel. You can't get fuel. So even if you get them the generators, how are we going to get the fuel? Well, a 500-gallon tank of fuel was driven up from Charlotte, controllers at Charlotte. We organized that. 48 hours after the incident, we had two flights of corporate jets that donated their time with, 4,000, 5,000 pounds of non-perishables each. Things that you wouldn't consider, contact solution, toothbrushes, when you lose everything, diapers.
Right.
So for us to be able to do that, to let these people get some, triage or stability to their life, it just snowballs down the road for everybody else.
Well, I hate to say this, but it sounds like you guys are awfully busy with the number of large storms we've had recently.
Unfortunately, yes. We are quite busy. And our response is nationwide from Alaska, Guam, Puerto Rico, anywhere in the United States or the territories that an FAA serves.
That's crazy. It's almost like another organization, like a little tiny FEMA for air traffic controllers.
Yep.
get the system back up and running.
And the greatest part of this is it's mostly funded by the air traffic controllers through a voluntary deduction out of their paycheck. Most of the funds that we get to be able to do this are our controllers saying, hey, here's $5 a paycheck to help out my brothers and sisters.
That's really cool.
That's really cool.
Now, do you also have your own maintenance crews, like for emergency repairs in these situations?
So the FAA handles all of that stuff.
Okay.
So all we are focused on is the controllers and their families. But what we do is in that realm of it is when there's a contract you need, say your house gets hit by a tree, and it falls on your house, we help them because they're overwhelmed, they're task saturated as the person that's in that victim. We can help them find a contractor. We can help them find a tree service, whatever they may need. And we have that experience because we've done it all over the country. And so we've seen it from hurricanes, from tornadoes. And we can say, hey, that's not quite right. Let's try this instead. And we kind of guide them in the right direction for that.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Because, yeah, I can't imagine what it feels like to lose everything, literally lose everything. So, yeah, any help you can get. And
just helping them navigate the insurance process and how that works and what to expect. And controllers volunteer their time to go help cut out drywall, you know, where there's been flooding. And just, you know, getting all the drywall and water out of the building.
Not fun.
No.
Not fun. And then they've got the added, if once they get back to work, now they're working in an aviation environment that's totally different. Because like you said, busiest airport in the country all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Not used to that.
Right.
That's a lot of airplanes.
With limited radios and radar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one thing we talked to them about is after every hurricane, after every storm, they're going to be the busiest airport for a little while because they have so many airplanes coming in and out. The military's flying in and out, air ambulance, medevac, et cetera. And so we kind of prep them for that too because they're not expecting that.
One last thing, I'd love to make a pitch while we're here. We're at the NACA booth all week. So, if, you know, we know it's busy. People come to love to listen to the presentations and talk. If anybody's interested in being a volunteer pilot for us, come on up, ask. We have a form you can just basically fill out, and we're keeping a database of pilots who'd like to volunteer their time to help us move equipment and supplies.
Would you take a guy that's got a light sport that can only carry, you know, 300 pounds of water or something?
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Paraglider's good. It doesn't matter.
Drop cell phones. Catch!
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I want to thank you guys for joining us. We've been speaking with Tom Flannery and Brett Steinle of National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
Get it right.
That's my Austin Strobel.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.